welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josiah Sinadam.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate episode 255. I'm Josiah at For the Villain on Twitter, at Comic underscore Syndicate on Instagram. All right, since I have a lot to go through, I'm going to just hit it straight up. What we spoke about 100 episodes ago, episode 155, we entitled hashtag bumhub. Do I really want to tell this story? I know exactly why we named it this title, because on my drive over to Adam's house 2 years ago, 100 episodes ago, no joke, there's a bank right by my house, or getting to his house, and there's a Wells Fargo, and literally right in front of the Wells Fargo on like main rush hour streets, no joke, bums were going at it. Like literally pants to his knees. And I don't know, not crazy to see. It's just not something you see every day. But yeah, hence Pornhub. I mean, it sucked because there was a lot of traffic, and where my car was stopped, I was a voyeur straight up. I mean, everyone was fucking watching him, because how can you not watch two bums go at it? But yeah, so I was just parked there for a bit, lots of traffic, just like, yeah, dude, you wreck that, dude. You handle. Anyway, so that's what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. Actually, no, that's not all we spoke about. At Mem the Beaner and at For the Villain Talk, Weekend Time, Jury Duty, Fuck My Life. That was me. Then real quick into What the Fuck News. Pissed off Irish boxer flips the bird at Olympics judges. That was a fucking funny article, dude. This boxer fucking had no fucking shame. Just like, you know what? Fuck you. This is what I think about you, ref, right here. Next one's going to be, we hit police. Man refuses to stop. Crashes car. Ditches daughter. Yes. Man refuses to stop, crashes his car, and he just bails on his daughter. Oh, parents. We hit sex facts. Online survey finds 8 in 10 adults have engaged in sexting. 8 in 10 adults. Yeah, I would say so. That article sounds intriguing to you. Go back 100 episodes ago and hit that. We hit Comic Talk, Comic News, new Pennywise photo, documentary about Fantastic Four film doomed gets release date. So I guess that's kind of funny that I bring this up, because last episode of Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes, episode 254.2, RG wrote that one up for me, and it was off the cuff, and he's like, well, I have something for you, and we literally break down Marvel movies from way back when, and that's one of the movies that we spoke about that kind of got banished, that no one knows about it. So this movie that we were talking about 100 episodes ago, we talk about this movie and how it's a documentary on the process of making that movie and what happened, the aftermath and the after effects, and like how this whole project got screwed and it was going to go nowhere to begin with. So never have seen this one, but I'm very curious about this. Just totally reminded me. Next one, we hit live-action Runaways. Series in development that is out, has been out. Netflix Punisher casting major supporting characters. So Punisher has been out already as well, season 2. Vin Diesel, well, and canceled, I guess. Vin Diesel drops the ball that Guardians of the Galaxy will appear in Avengers Infinity War. Adam West, Burt Ward, Julie Newmar voice new animated Batman film. Tom Holland visits Children's Hospital in full Spider-Man suit. Then Rock comic reviews all new, all different Wolverine number 11, Civil War 2 Amazing Spider-Man number 3, Aquaman number 5, Superman number 5, Batman number 5, and Nightwing number 3. All right, guys, that's what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. I did say we have a long show, so the only bullet points I'm going to hit real quick. I did mention Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes, and that's a two-parter show. I'm going to put the second part to that one out next week. I'm recording this on a Tuesday, which is the, you know what, fuck it. My days are jumbled. April 30th, I guess. I don't know. Anyways, I wrote a dope one for RG, and it's so cheesy and it's so corny, and it's like, this is intriguing, and it's honestly kind of interesting, and it's his brainchild, but I wrote it, and talking to Victoria, executive producer Victoria, and getting her feedback while he was out was good. And just to have the drive to want to write again, it's like, okay, cool. This one was fucking fun. So I do miss it. Those are going to come up within the next 2 weeks, I guess. All right. Cobra Kai. So Cobra Kai dropped last Tuesday at 9 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Grinded out the whole fucking show. I love the fuck out of it. I don't know if anyone does watch it, and I know Lynn has asked if it's on DVD. It's a YouTube Red show. I know that. I think I told you that. And I know a lot of people don't want to do subscriptions. YouTube Red has something corny that Victoria is notorious for doing. Her pseudonames, and she creates fake accounts for anything so she can get her 1 month free trial for everything. No joke, for everything. But yeah, I signed up for my free month, and then I liked it because of the features it had, and it was a dope show, so I kept it. I still have it. It's one of the few subscriptions I do have, and I do pay for monthly, but I did love it. I'm ready for fucking season 3 already. The way that show ended was on a cliffhanger, and these writers are writing it proper and giving it heart, and it was a fun watch. So, Lynn, go that route, dude. Create your own account, put on your fake nose and mustache like Victoria does. Next ones I'm going to hit are going to be Talk Avengers Endgame. I'm not going to give any spoilers. The first part of the show, and I didn't know how to attack this show particularly because I don't want to give any spoilers. So at the end of the show, I'm going to go into spoiler territory, and I'm going to end the show, but hang out if you guys want my thoughts and opinions on the movie, and it's just closing thoughts on the movie for the most part. All right, I believe that's all I got. Oh, fucking clickbait. I'm really fucking over clickbait, and people just post so many pop-ups, and like people are bashing the movie in a weird way and stupid way, and look, I hate people. That's it. I just fucking hate people. All right, guys. I'll be right back with some comic talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist and Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comics Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and are having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
All right, let's go down the list. First off, we're going to hit Child's Play. Reboots Chucky. Effects are 80% animatronic. That I did not know, which is kind of cool. The original one was more practical effects anyways, and they got extremely cheesy throughout the series. But I like cheesy B-movies, and I love scary movies. So you know what? I'm still down with that. So the fact that it is 80% animatronic, fuck yeah, that's kind of cool. Mark Hamill is also going to be the voice, by the way. Masters of the Universe reboot is delayed. The movie isn't entirely surprising, given that the film was slated to hit theaters on December 18th. This date would have been rather hard to hit, considering the film hasn't entered production. So, I believe I saw a picture of the dude who's going to play He-Man, and it's the opposite of a he or a man. So I love the Masters of the Universe world, but I grew up with that in the 80s. I don't know how I feel about this. Next one is going to be Report. Keanu Reeves joins Dwayne Johnson's Hobbs and Shaw movie. I love the fuck out of Keanu Reeves. I'm a fan of, I love the fuck out of, what's his face? Do you know? I'm a transporter. Fucking, yeah, that dude. And The Rock's alright. I mean, he's got some good charisma to him. But yeah, if that's the case, I'm kind of curious to see what that's going to be about. I mean, I hate the fucking world of The Fast and the Furious. So I don't know if he would be a draw for me to watch that movie. So again, in saying that, I just hate the world of it anyway, so I'm not going to support it at all. But speaking of Fast and Furious 9, Vin Diesel confirms John Cena as a new cast member. Do I care? Again, no. But it's news. Rugrats live action movie gets Diary of a Wimpy Kid director. We have Ben Affleck to direct star in the Ghost Army World War II drama. Ben Affleck will direct and star in The True Story of the Ghost Army of World War II for Universal Pictures. I love him as a director, and he's actually a good actor. He's done a lot of good fucking movies. The Town was great when he directs and when he acts in his own, you know, directed movies. He knocks it out of the park. So kind of stoked about that one. Next one is going to be Chris Hemsworth joins Jay and Silent Bob reboot. So he's going to be in that movie, which is, I believe, Ben Affleck. Kevin Smith has been done with the movie, but he's done with the editing process, I believe, as well. Next one is going to be back to Keanu Reeves. Keanu Reeves wants to keep playing John Wick. You know what, Keanu Reeves? I want you to keep on playing John Wick as well. Game of Thrones, one of HBO's planned spinoffs, is no longer happening. I think they're going to do like 5 prequels and sequels, and one of them at least has been canceled. Next one is going to be DC cancels. This one I didn't know about. DC cancels Lucha Explosiva, Luchador superhero figures. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's Batman, Gotham characters, and in the vein of Lucha Libre dudes, masks and shit. So they look kind of cool, but the whole thing has been axed. So the particular reason for that, DC actually said, while the DC Lucha Explosiva, I keep fucking that up, line launched with excitement, we are reevaluating new and exciting ways we can bring the re-imaged DC characters to even more fans. All right, so keep it more inclusive, perhaps. Rumor is going to be Batman casting could happen very soon. Do we really care by this point? Still haven't seen Shazam yet. Saw Endgame, which I'm going to go into later on at the end of the show. Next one was really cool. I don't have DC Universe, but Swamp Thing gets back to nature into new posters. But the DC Swamp Thing trailer also dropped, I want to say, last week as well. I'm a huge fan of obscure characters that no one knows or cares about, except Swamp Thing is actually a big, obscure character that a lot of people know about. Alec Holland is dope, and his connection to the green is dope. The way he's written is fucking dope, and I just love this character. So that it looks like a legit show. Is it a subscription thing that I'm going to put down for? So I love Swamp Thing that much, maybe I might have to pull a Victoria and put my fake nose on and, you know, fake hat and, you know, a fake hat, fake ears, fake nose, and, you know, create an account just to get through that for 1 month. Next one's going to be DC Extends Batman Who Laughs miniseries length. So it's one I've reviewed several times already. It went from a 6 issue arc to a 7 issue arc, and it's going to lead into, I believe it's Scott Snyder is going to write a Batman Superman comic book, and it's going to lead right into that. All right, we're going to hit Marvel talk now. Disney Plus will have far less content than other streaming services. Interesting. I mean, I guess to make that more sense to people, I guess, would be Hulu, for example. You know, all these CBS property stuff. Like, each network has their own set series, episodic series. And I guess looking at it, Disney has a grip load of fucking content. But not as much, you know, they always put everything in the vault, and their shit in the vault, honestly, is worth $6.99 a month, so I'm down to do that. Anyways, it's going to have less content. Marvel, Disney Plus's seasons will reportedly be shorter than Netflix's. So the Netflix model was 13 episodic shows, and the Disney Plus route is going to be 6 to 8 episodes. How do we feel about it? Does it matter to us? As long as they're good, right? Next one is going to be The Gifted, canceled by Fox. Let's see what else we have. Oh, still fucking more Fox. Disney pulls the plug on multiple Fox projects. We don't have the list of any of those, but a bunch of them already. Next one is going to be Into the Spider-Verse writers to develop Sony TV's Marvel Universe. Wow, I can't fucking. All right, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Phil Lord and Chris Miller signed a deal to create and develop television series for Sony's Marvel characters. Fresh off of their Oscar-winning animated film, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Look, I trust these guys as writers. They care about their characters they write about, and their scripts have been good. And the Lego Batman movie was fucking dope, and the Lego movie was fucking dope. They're the minds behind that. They're the minds behind Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, and it's such a great, grounded, fucked up, twisted, fun, funny, beautiful, gorgeous movie that more people need to watch. All right, Captain Marvel passes another MCU movie at domestic box office. So she's kicking ass. Avengers Endgame isn't the end of Phase 3 after all. No, Phase 3 is going to end after Spider-Man Far From Home. Sorry, guys, had to move that real quick. Next one's going to be Avengers Endgame beating expectations for legendary opening weekend. All right, let's talk numbers real quick. And how deep do I want to go into numbers? Yeah, fuck it. Might as well. Here we go. All right, Avengers Endgame beating expectations. And here we go. Avengers Endgame decimates records. In first box office weekend, Endgame took in an astounding $350 million domestically, becoming the first film to ever open above $300 million. Internationally, Endgame took a staggering $859 million, bringing the worldwide box office haul to an astonishing $1.2 billion opening weekend in 5 days. That's fucking nuts and dope and rad. I was there. I work in a theater, dude. I work my bar cafe shift and, oh, people are idiots. I think I worked one box shift and it was opening night, Thursday. Fuck me. People are idiots. I fucking hate fucking people with a fucking passion. People are walking up. I want to watch the Avengers Endgame at, the one that starts right now. The next showtime is going to be at 9 o'clock, and this is about 6 o'clock they're hitting me up. Next showtime is going to be at 8:30, 9 o'clock, 9:45, 8:45, whatever. And they're like, no, I'm here right now. Dick, you kind of don't understand that it's opening weekend, so you should have got here earlier or done the reserved seating, you fucking stupid fuck. That was what we all had to deal with in a certain way this weekend. We were fucking slammed. So I get the hype and I love the fucking hype. And I'm going to go in more in depth into it at the end of the show. So if you guys want spoilers, and again, there are going to be spoilers, and I'm just going to recap it, and I'm going to keep it short and sweet, not like everything else where I just normally drag on. All right, let's go into comic reviews. First one I'm going to hit is going to be a Marvel Comics title. It's going to be Symbiote, Spider-Man number one. Peter David's the writer, love his writing. Greg Land's the artist, and Jay Leiston is the inker. Just to give you a precursor on this one, it's Symbiote Spider-Man, yes. It's based on the Alien costume saga in 1984 and 85. So even though it's written current and came out a few months ago, or last month, the time frame in which it is written is when Spider-Man, Peter Parker, still had access to his black costume, which is the Symbiote costume. This one starts off with the showdown right off between Mysterio and the black costume Spider-Man. And that's all we see. We see this Mysterio's shell is cracked and Spider-Man just has his fucking number. But because he is in this symbiote suit, we see a darker and grittier Spider-Man. As he gets taken out, though, he sees Quentin Beck. So Mysterio sees him. He sees a picture of himself and an old friend of his, where he thinks he wished his friend could have his back right now. I mean, literally, as he's getting his ass kicked. Next page, we see current days now with Quentin Beck, so that's his name, Mysterio, now out to lunch with his friend from the previous panel. And this is kind of interesting. It's funny to read on paper as Quentin is trying to get his friend Johnny, that's his name, to join him. And it's just funny to read how Johnny says that he's not in that business anymore, and yet he's the one that's working for Kingpin. And how we see this odd comment from Quentin, as we see how upset he gets because he feels he deserves more respect as a supervillain. And that's the funny aspect of it. The way it's written, it is funny. And it's still funny, but jacked up to get this conversation from them comparing Mysterio to Kingpin now. And Johnny asks Quentin, how many people have you killed? And it's like, yeah, I've killed a bunch of people. It's like, yeah, you really haven't killed anyone. So you call yourself a supervillain, but you're not a supervillain. So he's literally a B-C character at best. Anyways. So it's really cool now. So the comic jumps into the heist now and everything that goes off and everything that he sets up a package. So gas goes off in this bank. He sets up a package for a woman to open up. And it's like a gas mask. So the whole building goes out. Who are you? Mysterio's like, your worst nightmare. She's like, you're me taking a test that I didn't study before and I'm naked? And he's like, just open the damn vault. Very funny. Again, Peter David can write characters, and it's just kind of corny, but kind of funny. So I thought that was hilarious. So it goes on. We see now security jump in, and an odd thing happens. Mysterio disappears and ends up behind the guard and knocks him out. But a few more odd things do happen. And the woman that opened the vault for him, as Mysterio took out the security guard, he was holding a gun up to Mysterio. And as Mysterio knocks out Homeboy with his Razzle Dazzle magic, practical effects. But as he does so again, the security guard shoots. He fires. And that's where the fucked up thing comes into play. As the gun fires, it actually, the bullet hits the woman. And kills her. So she ends up getting shot. And it's odd, but kind of cool, because we see this side of Mysterio, Quentin, that we don't see that often. We see Mysterio, like, really saddened over this. Like, it's a beautiful page. Like, he knows he is responsible for this. And he's just in the alleyway. And he leaves the bag of cash, and he has his helmet off, and he just has his hands in his head, like, what the fuck happened? So, it's really cool to see, again, because it's, you know, based in 84, in that era, in that run, we see the Twin Towers of New York, and then we see just Spider-Man now, scenes of him just being Spider-Man. And this is right after Secret Wars, so it's, you know, again, it was cool to see. So, now it jumps back to Spider-Man doing his job. And it's really cool to see just these pages now of how Spider-Man interacts with his symbiote. And it's the Venom costume. That's exactly what it is. And his girlfriend comes in. So he's in his boxers. He's knocked out. His girlfriend at the time is Felicia Hardy, Black Cat. And she walks in, and it's cool because she's like, let's go to lunch, you know. You've always told me, you know, you want to hang out with me out of our suits, like, out of our suits. No, but like, you know, let's have a date, like, you know, and we're always out at night working, so let's go do something during the day. He almost tries to shoot her down. Anyways, so he's in his boxers, and he's like, calls the symbiote to him, and crawls on his foot, and it suits him up, and like, look him off to the nines. And it's funny, again, these conversations are hilarious. She's like, it's alive. And she's like, no, it's alive. And he's like, it's not alive. It's alien technology. She's like, that's alive. So just to see that aspect between both of them was hilarious and very cool to read. All right, let me continue on. And so first date they go is of all times. The place he takes her to, because of the day it is, he takes her to see Benjamin Parker. And she's like, oh. And she feels bad now because this is what she wanted. And he's like, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do today if you want to come with. He's like, the Spider-Man you love wouldn't exist without him. I just wanted you to see it. Make you understand a little better why I am the way I am. Maybe make Peter Parker less problematic for us as a relationship, is what he's trying to say. But even before he can get that out, he notices that Quentin's at the cemetery as well, just staring at him. And so he's also at the cemetery. It's cool to see why he's there, though. Quentin is there as we get more of his character and person as a man now, as a person now, as he went to visit the woman that accidentally got shot at the robbery. And he's literally apologizing to her headstone now, as he legit feels guilty for all this. And he tells her, I'm not a supervillain. It's all pretend. No different from one of my tricks. I'm quitting. I've had it. No one else is going to die because of me. And he just wants to avoid any trouble. And it's really fucked up now what happens next after he essentially forsakes this villain lifestyle. I'm done with causing trouble. Perhaps I should record a short film, renounce violence as Mysterio once and for all. That poor woman died because of me. I'm done. And as we get this scene, we see apparently Peter Parker went to work, and he is like, that's Quentin Beck. what the fuck's he up to? So he ends up tracking Mysterio down. And after he just says this monologue to himself, like, I'm going to forsake this whole villain shit, Spider-Man just starts kicking his ass. And that's the fucked up thing. Like, yeah, Spider-Man, Peter Parker in his black costume, in the symbiote costume, is unhinged. And it makes him a darker character. And balls to the wall character, and just more of a villain. Like, it's a Peter Parker no one likes to see. And people notice it in him. And it's just, he's an asshole. And Peter Parker is not. He's the opposite of Peter Parker for the most part. And in the best, or I'm sorry, in the worst way possible. In the best way possible. I love it. In the worst way possible. But anyways, I do love the story. It was dope. It was good. It was good to see the throwback nod to the old classic symbiote costume and Spider-Man in his black costume I always fucking love. All right, this is going to be long. All right, let's see what we got. Let's hit these two real quick. We're still going to keep it on Marvel. It's a Marvel night tonight. Venom number 11, Donny Cates, Ryan Stegman's the artist, J.P. Mayer's the inker, Frank Martin's the colorist. The end of the last issue, we saw Eddie go through an hallucination where he snapped at Dylan, which was his younger brother. And we saw Null, which is the god of the symbiotes, but he happened to be just tripping, he ends up getting caught by the Maker, which is an alternate version of Reed Richards. Twisted, dark version. So he started coughing up blood from the quote-unquote infection that he's had. So this one was just an interesting read, and I'm going to try to just precurse everything that happens. So he has this conversation with the symbiote, and he's, as the Maker is legit, trying to take the symbiote off of Eddie Brock's body. It's just dope to see, like, the symbiote encase Eddie in, like, this hibernetic cocoon of some sort, and it's still protecting Eddie to this point. Now it jumps back into his nightmare state again, where it just feels like a scary movie, and you can get these pages, it just looks eerie. Where he now ends up at a church. And, just the twisted things that are going through Eddie's mind. And it's really cool to see this all go down, and how intense Richards is, the Maker, is working on getting this symbiote off of Eddie. He's torturing them both. But we finally see that it frees Eddie, till Eddie is finally able to talk to his symbiote again, and it's lost its voice since they killed Null. Why are you doing this to me? To us? Why did you put these things in my head? I thought we were beyond this. The symbiote says, Eddie. Eddie's like, I thought you loved me. As Eddie finally figures it out, you made me think I was rotting every time I wanted to leave. Altered my body to make the test read that I was dying, so I would need you. The symbiote answers, we were scared. We're always scared. And then it's pretty much, in a nutshell, the way that one ends is, the symbiote was protecting Eddie because of, it never wanted Eddie to learn that Dylan is actually his son. So it's really cool going to that. Venom number 12, Donny Cates is the writer, Ryan Stegman's the artist, J.P. Mayer, Frank Martin. This one, now off a prior issue, Eddie has figured out that this symbiote has been tricking him with false memories to hide something from him. That Dylan is not a younger brother, but Eddie's actual son. Wow, just said that. Okay, so from what I gather, Null wants to use Eddie's offspring, perhaps. I mean, Eddie has been one of the better Venoms. I mean, Flash Thompson is a great Venom, but it starts off with a woman named Anne confronting Eddie's father on a rainy evening. So this is a flashback scene. Telling the dad that she can't take care of the baby because of Eddie being a monster. You know, she's like, and that's what she tells him straight up. He's a monster. He's a bad person. Like, he can't know about this. As it now jumps back to the experiment with the Maker and Eddie, where Eddie now asks to turn up the experiment so he can break away from the bond with the symbiote. Now he's like, no, fuck it. And the Maker's like, and homeboy is a villain. He's like, I'm probably going to kill you if you want me to amp it up. And Eddie's like, I don't care. I just want this fucking goddamn thing off me already. This is really cool to see, because we don't always get that from these two with Eddie and his symbiote. So very, very cool. Even the Maker explains to Eddie what might happen, as he does now, though the symbiote finally makes a move and is able to free them. Itself and Eddie, so they're all kind of free. So now as they're free, they go right after Dylan, as we see what Venom now does to his father. So Eddie's father was very abusive to Eddie, and this is what happens. So Venom now takes control, and it looks as if Venom is ready to attack his father, I guess. I know what I am. This is Eddie now. I know what I am. I know I messed things up. I know I'm not good, but I'm working on it. Every day of my life, I'm trying to get better, to do better, as he's finally able to confront his dad this way and take Dylan, but also leave his father with something. This is kind of fucked up, but it was dope to see. And he leaves him with loneliness, and it's really weird to say that. And the symbiote kind of brainwashes his father, and it's fucked up, but as fucked up as he's been to Eddie his whole life, the symbiote takes control and like kind of wipes his memories, making him think like, no one loves you either. And that's fucked up. That's due to anyone. So yeah, it was a beautiful fucked up twisted story. It ends up where Dylan asks, why were we back at the hospital? Wait, what are you doing? Are you leaving me? Why won't you talk to me? And then it's the Venom symbiote trying to do better, both of you, better without me. So the symbiote kind of realizes, like, you don't need me, you hate me, and I've brought you nothing but misery, and I can't make you happy. And it's the best boyfriend ever. I know that's a cheesy joke, but very dope. I mean, this whole run, Donny Cates has been sick. Ryan Stegman and his art on this have been great. I love the fuck out of Venom. Donny Cates writing right now. He's one of my favorite writers right now. And it's going to go into an arc and a crossover event, a Marvel crossover event, where it's Carnage is back. And I'm going to go into those as well. And I've got to go into a bunch of other stories and both Marvel and DC. But all right, guys, let's see. All right, let's try this real quick. I'm going to go into my endgame thoughts. And it is going to be strictly spoiler territory. And I'm not going to go into this so much in depth, but I'm just going to go over a few things that I loved the fuck out of the movie for. And it was great. I loved the fuck out of it. So if you guys haven't seen the movie, subscribe to the podcast in iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. Subscribe, share us, rate us. Give us a thumbs up. However your podcast thing works, do that. But share the podcast more than anything with like-minded individuals. And for those of you that have seen Avengers Endgame, right after this plug, I want to go straight into it. All right, guys. I will catch you guys next week. Peace out.
2, 1. What's up, guys? This is Sholo Maridueña, Miguel Diaz from Cobra Kai.
This is Jacob Bertrand. I play Hawk. And you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Woo!
Go. All right, guys. Here we go. First off, I love the fuck out of this fucking movie. I've only seen it one time. I saw it on Friday night. And it didn't feel like a 3-hour movie, first of all. It's really dope to see something like this. Like, it's a pop culture phenomenon. And it's something you don't see every fucking day with movies out, or even the fandom now is just so great. Like, you have the Game of Thrones now, so technically that's up there. You have the Walking Dead fans that are up there, I guess. The Star Wars fan, the Star Wars culture is fucking dope. And to see how beautiful this one was wrapped up was fucking rad to see. And it was emotional. It was beautiful. It was sad. It was funny. I love how all the notes and tones in this movie hit. They went for it, and they hit all these notes and tones. It was a beautiful conclusion to what's been a setup and culmination of 10 years and 21 movies worth of work. The Russos were playing the long game on us, and even Kevin Feige, and I love them for it. They introduced each character
and you give a shit about each of these characters. And it was dope. And so I was talking with my boy Johnny, and we were just breaking down the first fucking opening sequence and the Hawkeye and the path he took. And you know what? Yeah, you know what, Clint? Fuck the world. You know, like, it's like, you know what? Fuck everyone. You know, your family's gone, so you go after just go after villains. Go after anyone. You know what? Fuck it. Do what makes you feel good, homie. Was cool to see, and sad. The opening sequence with Nebula and Tony Stark. We know what's happening to him, and they're working together, and they're trying to get through. I mean, that's it. They're trying to get through. Was dope to see, and I even love that. Again, the whole Nebula, it gets completely fucking humanized, and little by little she has been. And that scene where Tony Stark offers her food, and she looks at him like, nah, dude, like, you need it. Like, I'm good. was cool to see, like, again, that humanizing, like, she knows. And even that look in her eye when she's like, no, that's for you, guy. Was beautiful to see. So just small things and things they did in this movie was fucking dope. So I'm just going to hit key points and moments that I loved. And again, this is just going to be spoiler. And I'm going to go into everything briefly, and I'm not going to run down the whole movie because I don't want to bore anyone. But Thor, dude. Schlubby Thor, I guess. I loved the fuck out of it, dude. It looked funny. And we thought he was going to be 12-pack ab fucking Chris Hemsworth Thor again. And the whole time through, even with two hammers, he still doesn't become stud Thor. He's schlubby Thor the whole time. I didn't like depressed Thor, but I didn't mind chubby Thor. It was just really cool to see how kind of inclusive it is for kids. You know, like, I was a fat fucking pudgy kid. I was tiny. I was bigger sideways than I was height-wise. And for kids to see a character like that, like, you mean I don't need to have fucking 12-pack abs? Like, I can still be a superhero? You know what, kid? You're damn fucking straight you can be a superhero. You can be whatever the fuck you want. It doesn't matter how you look. It's how you perceive yourself type of deal. So a lot of people, especially girls, felt more, and even a few guys I spoke to, it's like, yeah, I wish you would have buffed out, though. It's like, dude, nah. It's like, it's beautiful, you know, like the route they took. Like, let's give kids confidence, you know. Let's give just people confidence that, you know, in general was dope. And that's the way I saw it or perceived it as. Nothing more, nothing less than that. To see the Trinity, and a lot of things in the movie, but I'm just going to jump. The Trinity, Iron Man, Captain America, and Thor was just dope to see them work together. Was rad. And Tony, why he doesn't want to help out and why he's reluctant to help out. And when he finally figures out, like, shit, I think I figured it out. And he tells his lady, and he's like, I figured out time travel. And she's like, okay, so what are you going to do? He's like, I probably should just drop it in the middle of the ocean so I can finally just go to sleep. But Tony, will you be able to rest? Was cool. And it's like, okay, well, it's time to go to work. And that's Tony fucking Stark. That's fucking superheroes in general, for the most part. So then it was this Trinity and them going after Thanos. And just so much fucked up in the movie. And the loss of Black Widow. Actually, let me talk about that. A lot of people looked at it as it's a throwaway death. And in my eyes, again, it's not. Like, out of everyone on the whole team, these guys are legit best friends. They've worked so long together where they do have a history, and longer than the Avengers have been together. And the Avengers did break up, but these people are best friends. So when it came down to, like, oh shit, well, I'm not gonna let you take this. No, I'm not gonna let you take this. It was beautiful to see. So it wasn't a throwaway death. It's a death that unfortunately needed to fucking happen. Like, how are you gonna get the Soul Stone? Was cool to see. I wish there would have been more of a scrap between them, but the fact that they tried to help each other and not, they were trying to protect each other was the best way I can put it. Was dope to see. Okay, going back to the Trinity one more time. Thanos just came back, and poor Nebula too, and poor everyone. Was cool, but to see the Trinity go at it with Thanos was dope. And as soon as the hammer moved, I'm like, yes. And nobody caught it until this scene finally happened, where they actually showed him on scene, where it's like, oh fuck, he has the fucking hammer. Was fucking dope. So him being Captain America, being a worthy enough to lift, raise, and use Mjolnir, and to see him have fun with it, and that action sequence, that fight scene, was dope and beautiful, and just fucking cool. Everything just felt so fucking right. So now we see the Horde finally show up, and against all odds, sometimes you just gotta say fuck it. And he sees this giant army, and we see half of Cap's shield fucking broken. So he's taking on Thanos and his army now. And we see fucking Cap just beat and beat the fuck up, and almost like homeboy is ready to quit and just tap out. But he straps on his shield tighter. Till we get a, Cap, you read me? On your left. And just hearing that voice, it's like, what the fuck? Where? And we see a single portal just opens. And to see him come out, and it was beautiful to see. And then more and more and more portals open. If the first Avengers had that ah moment, this one was like, oh fuck, this is dope. This is beautiful. Like, everyone's here to back up homeboy. It was beautiful to see. So I loved it. I mean, the whole friend camaraderie, teamwork, everything. The Band of Brothers, everything was dope to see. Speaking of Band of Brothers, this is one scene that I don't think I've told a lot of people yet about or have gone over. But the female A-Force scene and sequence. A-Force in the comics was probably created about 4 years ago by now. And it's a team legit of nothing but women of the Marvel Universe. So the Inhumans, mutants from the X-Men world, the Avengers. So it's just a bunch, you know, like we have She-Hulk is in charge. Captain Marvel's on the team. We have Scarlet Witch on the team. We have Rogue on the team. We have a bunch of these great strong women characters. So to see this, I don't know, this 2-minute sequence, if that, like, Thanos is like, who's gonna help you? And all these badass fucking chicks just pop up like, oh, we got your back. Was honestly fucking dope to see. Like, it was beautiful to see. I felt empowered as a woman off of that scene. But even in saying that, that 2-minute sequence was way better than all of Wonder Woman. I mean, that's the best I can put it. Like, it was way better than all of Wonder Woman, just that 2-minute scene with these badass women kicking ass and working together. See what happens when women work together? Last part, or last few sections, I guess, is just going to be random throwback that I loved. And I was hoping for more, but just a random throwback to see Black Panther hold the Infinity Gauntlet. Like, I'm like, oh fuck, tell me you're gonna put it on. There are a few Marvel characters that have worn the Infinity Gauntlet before. And last time, or first time, Black Panther had worn it was in the recent Secret Wars that's written by Jonathan Hickman. And Jonathan Hickman writes East of West. He's coming back to Marvel soon. He's a great writer. He plays the long game as well. But anyways, in that storyline, Dr. Doom had the Infinity Gauntlet, and Dr. Doom used the power of the gems to create pocket worlds, and it's weird. Not dimensions, but yeah, he had everything like this battle world place, and he was the ruler. Great story, by the way, if you guys ever want to check that out. We did review those. But anyways, the characters that have worn the Infinity Gauntlet before: Nebula, Adam Warlock, which nobody knows these characters. Adam Warlock, Magus, Captain America, actually had to destroy a world, and he was a pussy in the comics, and he couldn't fucking destroy it. Iron Man has worn it. Spider-Man, Ultimate Hulk, Reed Richards, and again, Black Panther. I'm like, please put it on, Black Panther. Didn't happen. But to see these these characters, and again, the culmination of so many movies and all characters we all care about by this point. And I'm going to go into a few things. It was beautiful to see, and it felt great. It really felt great, like, to see so many people. And the crowd reaction I loved, and that energy I loved. Like, people were getting fucking pumped, and it felt good to see everyone come together with the portals opening, but to see everyone share and just to feel that, it felt fucking great. And then it was a roller coaster. I mean, you guys know it was a roller coaster. Peter finally popping up, and he's like, Mr. Stark, you know what? I just woke up. Dr. Strange tried to explain. And Tony's just like, shut up, kid. Just give me a fucking hug already. Was dope. So even in saying that, like, you know, the battle goes on. And even though we know what happens to Tony, and there had to have been a loss. And I think that's why it didn't hit me as hard as I thought it would. Like, sometimes if you give a noble death, it has to be done properly. And it's not fucking white picket fences and rainbows every fucking day. How much are you willing to give up sometimes? Yeah, it sucks. So I was kind of prepared for it. I always had a feeling it was going to be Tony. It started with Tony, so it would have to end with Tony. So after what he did, was beautiful and selfless. And it, again, I think I was prepared mentally for it to the point where it's like, all right, cool, dude. Well, I love you. I'm going to miss you. And then to see Peter fucking walk up to him and, Mr. Stark, we won. We won, Mr. Stark. We won. It's like dope to see. But the thing that really kicked my ass was early on when what he tells Pepper, and this one just fucking hurt, was Pepper just telling him, you can rest now. And that was probably the one that did it over him. I don't know why it did. But it hit. And the whole movie fucking hit. And good movies should fucking hit. And hit all the notes and all the tones. And it was fun and it was funny. And it was sad. And it was somewhat depressing. And it's a feel-good, sad to say, bittersweet. But it had to happen. Like, it was the resolution that we need. That had to have happened. So in saying all that, and, you know, it's not a full review, it's not. So if you guys have seen the movie, you guys know what I'm talking about. And so the last thing I'm going to end is sadly to say, these characters, I fucking hate saying it, these characters don't belong to me anymore. They belong to everyone. And they have. And I know of the origins and stories and people don't know because of just the movies, to take myself out of it and to not be, I'm not even going to say egotistical because that's not even the proper word, but to be on my high horse is stupid for me to ever do. But to realize, like, shit, these aren't my characters anymore. These aren't my toys. Like, everyone can enjoy them, even if it's just cinematically, is beautiful. So, that's all I got. I went long. If you guys liked the episode, share the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can find podcasts. I need to watch this movie again a few more times, and I want to watch it with fresh eyes this time to catch anything I might have missed. All right, again, share the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. I will catch you guys next week. Thanks for listening. Peace out.